And welcome to Faith Baptist Church on this bright and balmy February morning. Pastor Herbert, as you know, is not here with us today. And it is my turn and privilege to fill the pulpit this morning. For those of you who were here in October when I preached an unusually lengthy message, I want to assure you that that will not be the case today. As you know, as a longtime lay part-time preacher, I've been notorious for my short sermons. Now, I don't know if this actually happens, and hopefully it's just in my mind, but sometimes I vision that when we preach a short message, those of you listening out there are thinking, well, he must not have put much effort into that one, right? But if we do happen to preach a long one, or longer than expected, then I imagine you thinking, well, he just threw in a bunch of verses and stories to show off and make it longer. Now, of course, I can't speak for anybody but myself, but I'm sure Caleb would say the same. Neither of those things are true. When Pastor first walked me through writing a sermon 20-something years ago, he told me to seek the Holy Spirit and preach what he tells me to preach and don't apologize for it. Now, for years, until last October, that always meant don't feel bad about a short message. We never envisioned me speaking too long, but that's where we got. So I felt like I was just following that and sharing what the Holy Spirit led me to say, and I'm not going to apologize for that. But I realized that though I do have a responsibility to follow the Spirit's leading, I also have a responsibility to you sitting in those less than comfortable chairs trying to process the message that I'm sharing with you. So having said all that, I vowed that I will return to the five B's of preaching. Be brief, brother, be brief. Or at least briefer. Today we're going to look at a passage in Colossians, partly because it contains one of my personal life verses, but also because it gives us very good teaching. And we're going to see that faithfulness in love, faithfulness in Christ, and faithfulness in your role leads to success. And we all want to be successful, don't we? Now, if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn to Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to ask that you stand with me if you're able, in respect to God's word, and follow along as I read verses 12 to 25 in Colossians 3. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Now let's pray that God will help us to see how faithfulness in love, faithfulness in Christ, and faithfulness in our role will lead to success. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are missing from us today, for whatever reason. I just pray that you would bring them back safely to us. Father, please open our hearts to your message and help us to remember that this is your message, no matter who it is delivering it. And I just pray that you'd give me the strength and authority to give the message that you want be given today, and that it would be received by those who need it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, Colossians 3. Now I'm in trouble with my paper. Colossians 3 begins by saying that when sinners respond to the gospel and the call of the Holy Spirit and become followers of Christ, we have been raised to new life, sharing in his resurrection from the dead. In response, we must put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. It's kind of like taking off filthy clothes and putting on new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 and Galatians 6:15 say that we become new creation, a new creation. We being a new man or woman, a new creation in Christ. And we must make a conscious effort to set our minds to habitually focus and pursue things above, heavenly things, not on things of the earth, and put to death the evil longings of our earthly body with its sinful, sensual, self-centered instincts, immorality, impurity, sinful passions, evil desires, and greed, which in itself is a form of idolatry. We are a new self, but still live in the old body, and they battle. The new self shouldn't enjoy the ways of the old self as it used to. But the old self, still present in the body, still craves those things. So we must choose daily, constantly, to focus and pursue the things above, not the things of the earth. So then in verses 12 to 14, we see the character of the new self. Faithfulness and love is in the heart of the new man, the new creation, the elect of God. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience to endure whatever injustice or unpleasantness comes our way with a right response. Bearing graciously with one another, willing to forgive one another, even as the Lord has forgiven us. And wrap yourselves in unselfish love. Love is the perfect bond of unity, as each one seeks the best for others. It occurred to me as I began working on this message that I preach about love pretty often. In the now infamous sermon from October, I urged you to grow in Christ-like love and gave some examples of what that looked like. Personally, I'm seeing growth in that area, and hopefully you are too. I've spoken before about what love is and what love isn't, because what the world says that love is very different than what God says it is. And, you know, God should know because he is love, right? Well, in 1 Corinthians 13, commonly known as the love chapter, the Apostle Paul says that no matter what good things I say or do, it's all just a loud, annoying, obnoxious noise if I'm not doing it in love. So maybe the reason I speak about love so often is because the Bible speaks about love so often. And maybe that's because it's important. John 15:13 tells us, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. So remember, friends, it wasn't the nails that held Jesus to the cross. It was his love for you. And if we are his, we should be faithful in love, just as he is. Faithfulness in love, Christ-like love, should lead to faithfulness in Christ. The one who kneeled down and washed the feet of the disciple who would completely deny him 3 times in just a matter of hours. And also the one who would betray him for 30 pieces of silver, the cost of a slave. The one, while hanging in agony on the cross, prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, on behalf of those who nailed him there. Verse 15 through 17 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Faithfulness in Christ brings the peace that only comes from daily walking with him. It's knowing that he's in complete control of all things, and knowing that he's up to something good for his children. We know this when we've made a home in our hearts and minds for the holy word of God. I think it's fitting that we sing a lot of songs this morning talking about the word of God. It's very important, right? And we need it in our hearts. It should be an integral part of our very being, as necessary as breath. We should use God's word to teach, counsel, and train one another in God's truth, the only absolute truth. But another sign of faithfulness to Christ is in the singing of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs in thankfulness to God. Now let's just take a quick minute and look again at verse 16. Yeah, I don't see where it says those who sing well. Am I missing something? No. It says with grace in your hearts, not with a beautiful voice. That's interesting. When we sing together, we're not singing to one another. We're singing praises to our Savior King. And it doesn't matter what it sounds like to us. To him, it's a beautiful heavenly choir, not because he's tone deaf, but because we're raising our voices to praise him. So don't hold back. Let it out. And whatever you do, whether singing, talking, working, we're going to hit that again here in a little bit. Anything and everything we do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus with thankfulness. Be thankful that you have the Word of God and are free to read it. You know, there are many around the world who can't. Be thankful that you can sing God's praises. There's some people who would love to, but don't have a voice to sing with. Be thankful for all that He has given you, and show your thankfulness by using it. When we're faithful in Christ, we find peace through Him. We know Him and can trust Him through God's holy word. And we can sing His praises with thankfulness. Being faithful in these areas will not only benefit us in these ways and bring us joy and peace, but will also lead to faithfulness in our roles. I'm having trouble reading my own writing, sorry. But they'll help us to have faithfulness in our roles. Verse 18 through 25 lists some of the roles that God has assigned to each of us and instructs us on how to be faithful in them. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time going into detail of these roles. That would be a whole other sermon. We're not going to do that today. Right? We're being briefer, right? But there are two things that I want to point out and emphasize. First, these are the roles that God has defined and assigned. And second, they're not necessarily listed by levels of importance. Similar to Paul explaining the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 27. And I'm just going to loosely paraphrase and summarize what he says. So a hand is not a foot, right? We all agree on that. Foot is not an ear. Ear is not a nose. Nose is not an eye, right? None of these are more important than the other. They all have their purpose. They all have their role. They work together to complete the body and keep the body strong, and healthy, and effective. The body wouldn't be what it is without one of them. So none is more important than the other. They're all necessary. Now, unlike members of a body, we all have multiple roles that we fill. For instance, I'm a husband, and I'm also a father. But I'm also a child to my parents. Each role requires faithfulness. Faithfulness in love and faithfulness in Christ will help us to be faithful in whatever role we fill. Wives are to submit to their husbands, not as slaves or subordinate creatures, but helpers. Remember in Genesis when God created the woman from the man because God said he needed a helper. Then the man and woman became one flesh and completed each other. The wife submits to her husband out of respect to his role as a protector and spiritual head of his family and his accountability of his role. Her submission to her husband is a picture of her submission to Christ. The husband must take his responsibility seriously, not take his role lightly, and is to love his wife with an affectionate, sympathetic, selfless love that always seeks the best for her. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Every parent's favorite verse, right? Well, parents are given their authority by God. God has allowed them to be parents. and they are God's representatives to their children. Unfortunately, there's a lot of parents out there that don't take that responsibility seriously. And it's an important one. I know we always told our children growing up, you've got friends, we're your parents. They're not the same thing. Okay? And even Travis, as he grew up, he said, you know, I think because you were my parent when I was younger, now that I'm an adult, we can be friends. So I thought that was pretty cool. And fathers should not provoke or irritate their children with unreasonable, humiliating, or abusive demands or favoritism. We should love them with tenderness. Remember, dads, you are giving them a picture of the Heavenly Father. That's pretty important. Verse 22 instructs bondservants to obey their masters in all things with a sincere heart, not just as a show to gain favor. I kind of doubt that we have any bondservants with us today. All the bondservants, raise your hands. Okay. I'd have been at a loss if somebody raised their hand, but anyway. But I think a majority of us are or have been employees. And I believe the same principles apply. And it's explained further in verses 23 and 24. Whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Not only do we receive eternal rewards for spiritual practices such as reading the Bible, prayer, and evangelism, Paul asserts here that all work done to the honor of Christ will bring eternal rewards. And Colossians 3:23 has been one of my life verses, especially in my working career, for probably 25 years. Now, I was raised with a strong work ethic, as most of my generation were. But this verse just kind of confirmed it to me. I've actually used these principles in job interviews. I'm pointing out to them that it doesn't matter who signs my paycheck. Ultimately, I work for the Lord. And the Lord deserves my best. And they'll get the benefit of it. Now, besides the obvious question of how do you determine your best effort? Well, obviously, some days are better than others. Some days you're stronger, some days you're sharper than others. But I believe if I'm giving my best for that day, then I'm being faithful to that principle. But having this biblical philosophy, I'm not sure if that's a real thing or if I made that up, doesn't matter. It's caused me a tremendous amount of stress, frustration, and heartache over the years. If I didn't achieve my goals for the day, if I didn't make my rate, if I didn't get everything accomplished, did I really give my best? Did I fail the Lord? And that's a heartbreaking thought and led to a lot of guilt. But then Pastor pointed out to me one day, and I'm going to share it with you now, that I was judging my success on the results, which makes sense, right? I mean, how would you base success on the results? But he pointed out that my duty, my obligation, according to this verse, is to do my best. If I do that, I've succeeded. Now, this is not let go and let God. Okay? If I did that, then I'd be looking at a blank piece of paper with an even blanker look on my face, and it's already there. Okay? I still need to do my part. I need to do my best. But I can stop worrying about the results because it's not up to me. It reminds me of the principle we find in 1 Corinthians 3:7. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. And it's like a great weight was lifted off my shoulders. So now I've kept Colossians 3:23 as my biblical philosophy, but I've also added Matthew 11:28, 30. So turn there with me, if you will. Matthew 11:28. I'm going to read this beautiful passage. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now in my job, I'm just a fork truck driver. Nothing earth-shattering, nothing technical, nothing life or death, unless I hit somebody, which we hope doesn't happen. But it is my responsibility to keep my machines and my lines running and producing. And I take this responsibility seriously because I work for the Lord and He deserves my best, right? Now, sometimes it's a blessing, sometimes it's a curse. But through the day, I can see all the things that I need to get done throughout the day. And at the same time, I have machine operators calling on the radio saying, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. Well, when I try to figure out how I'm going to get everything done, I get stressed out, I get frustrated, and yes, sometimes I get angry at the situation. Sometimes I think, you know, flipping at burgers and McDonald's might not be a bad thing, right? But when I do my best and trust God for the results, I'm not stressed, I'm not frustrated, and I'm not angry. And everything gets done. The more I'm growing in this trust, the more the Lord is showing that He is trustworthy and faithful. And the more peace and joy I feel and show to others. Letting my light shine that others see it and be drawn to Him. And it's getting easier and better the more I do it, but still not perfected. I shared in our men's group about a month ago, you know, I can't understand why I ever trust myself when God has shown time and time again that He is trustworthy and I'm not. But be prepared for challenges. Whenever you try to change who you are, what you think, and what you do, challenges or tests will come. The flesh, the old you, resists that change. I personally have experienced it several times in working on this message specifically. I've had to remind myself more than once, what is the message of this message that you're working on, Bruce? Meaningful change is hard, but we must fight our flesh to become like Christ. But we're not alone in the battle. Faithfulness in love, faithfulness in Christ, and faithfulness in your role will lead to peace, joy, and success as we trust the trustworthy Lord. Now, as I bring this message to a close, there's another important role that's not mentioned in this passage, but I don't think it's a reach to include it in this message, as these same principles apply to it. And the role I'm talking about now is ministry. As Christians, followers of Christ, we are called in Scripture to minister to the Lord and to each other. Serve the Lord by serving others. It's a role we've all been given, but not everyone answers. I'm going to address what I believe are the two most common arguments or excuses that people use for not being involved in ministry. The first is, I don't have the time. Now, there are cases where work or illness or disability may keep you away from home or church for extended periods of time. Or maybe you have an erratic work schedule that makes organized ministry difficult or even impossible. You're still called to minister, to serve the Lord and serve others if you're physically able to. So you might have to get creative and find a way to minister where you are and who you're around, but it's still important. But for most of us, I don't have time to minister isn't a valid excuse. Let's be honest here, friends. We make time for the things that are important to us, don't we? If you enjoy reading, you're going to make time to read. If you enjoy a TV show, you're going to make time to watch it. If sports are important to you, you will make time to watch or participate in them. Hopefully, your family is important to you, and you should make time for them. There's nothing wrong with any of these things in the rightful place. But we are called to minister or serve and should make time to be faithful in that role. The other common excuse I want to debunk is, I can't do anything. I have no talents. I don't have anything to offer. Well, you know, there's an old sports adage that says the greatest ability is availability. And it's saying that it doesn't matter how good you are, how gifted an athlete you are, if you can't stay healthy enough to actually play, it doesn't matter. And someone with less talent but is available to play is more important than a more talented player sitting on the bench doing nothing. But when it comes to ministry, I believe availability is far more important than ability. Because as we've seen, you're simply doing your best and trusting God for the results. You give the ability, and He'll give the ability. Now, I'm not going to embarrass any of you out there. I'll do it to myself, okay? Y'all see me up here on the stage each week singing. Once a month or so, I'm standing here leading the music. Now, the truth is, I love to sing. I love to sing praises to the Lord. But another truth is, I absolutely hate to listen to myself sing. And I genuinely feel bad for anyone who has to listen to me sing. Every so often, Miss Heather has to come up here and adjust my microphone because she can't hear me. And I invariably tell her, well, that should be the goal. How many times when I'm leading music do I remind you that it's your responsibility to drown me out? I'm not joking, guys. I'm dead serious when I say that. When I watch a recording of the sermon, I fast forward through the music because I don't want to hear myself. But here's the thing. I've never told anyone at any time that I want to stand on that stage and sing into a microphone. But when we were shut down due to COVID a few years ago and started streaming the service, it was decided that it would be easier for the speaker to have people on stage singing with them. And I said I'd be willing to do that. Boom, here I am. At least until we find something better, somebody better. Hint, hint. We needed someone to lead the music. I never claimed that I knew how to lead music. But I was willing to do it until we found someone better, which we have. Praise the Lord. said 20-something years ago, a young Pastor Herbert taught me how to build a sermon and encouraged me to fill in on occasion to help me grow and to fill need in the church. The point that I'm trying to make is that I have no delusions thinking that I'm a gifted singer or a song leader or preacher. I'm just a willing servant. That's all. I'm available. My availability far exceeds my ability. Now, teaching, that's a little different story. I got a taste of teaching little kids in vacation Bible school many years ago just by being available. And I loved it. And when an opportunity came around, I pursued it. But still, I don't claim to be a great teacher. I just love the Lord, and I love kids, and I'm willing and available. When you make yourself available to serve the Lord, He will give you what you need to serve Him. Remember, it's been said many times, God doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the called. Faithfulness in love, faithfulness in Christ, and faithfulness in your role will lead to success in life and ministry. Now let's bow our heads and we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to share your word, the message that you gave me to share. And I pray that it's touched hearts and will urge people to use what you've given them and to trust you to use them. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As a benediction, I'm going to leave you with this. Now to you from Him who is and who was and who is to come, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, may grace and peace abound. Revelations 1, 4, and 5. God bless you all. We would be dismissing, but we have a little business to take care of first. Thank you for being here.